In the wake of a breakup or a divorce, a single parent can be left broke. That's what child support is supposed to resolve. On this week's edition of You and the Law, Child Support Magistrate John Amon is here talking about child support. Why should the public care if child support is paid?
Well, the public is concerned because if child support isn't paid, ultimately the custodial parent may wind up on public assistance and then the taxpayer pays. So that's one concern.
How often don't they pay?
I would like to think that the better way of phrasing it is how often do they pay? And I think often they pay. We don't have any good and hard percentages, but there are that group of cases where we have to enforce or violate people for not paying. I couldn't give you a number, but I'd like to think 75 or 80% of the orders that we issue are paid. That may be optimistic.
Do you have a feel for who doesn't pay?
I think I have more than a feel for that. Obviously, if you aren't employed, the obligor that isn't employed is unlikely to be paying. They may be unemployed because they were terminated, the job closed down, unemployment benefits ran out, or they may just not have the skills and abilities to get a job, or perhaps they're not too enthused about working.
What happens if you lose your job, you lose your overtime, something goes badly wrong in the place of employment?
Well, your obligation continues if it's been set until you commit and ask for relief from it in a modification proceeding.
Did you see any sign of this as the economy was going bad 5 or 6 years ago?
Western New York, in our courts, we've always seemed to be a little bit in a down economy, at least from our point of view. So when the national economy went down, I don't think we saw it as much. But certainly we're seeing it now because it has continued for a while. There are some bright signs now, however.
The term child support seems kind of amorphous. But how do you decide how much the legally determined father should pay the mom?
It's percentage driven, at least to start. It's 17% for one child, 25 for two, 29 for three children, 31 for four, and 35% for five or more children. And that's placed on gross income, less certain deductions like the FICA tax.
That can be a lot of money on your gross.
It can. It is.
You generally know who the mom is. I don't think there have been any cases here where that was surrogate parent or something like that.
Not yet, no.
But what do you do to make sure that the dad is really the dad?
Well, the dad can be the dad in a number of ways. Number one, the parties could be married and they could have the child in that fashion, so that's not a question. We see a lot of out-of-wedlock cases, though, and in those particular cases, the dad either has to sign an acknowledgement of paternity in the hospital generally, or there has to be an order of filiation, a paternity proceeding in our court. And if it's disputed, we order DNA testing.
Not like the old days. You know scientifically who the father is.
We know scientifically who the father is. It comes back 99.6 or 7 series of nines. We know.
Do you ever get challenges anyway?
No. We do not. I haven't done a paternity hearing in years.
How complicated is it for the mom to come in and get an order of child support?
I'd like to think it's not complicated at all. You have to come down to the courthouse in downtown Buffalo and file the paper. About 3 or 4 weeks after filing, you come in, and you don't have to have an attorney. I would always recommend that, but people can't afford attorneys in a lot of these situations. They come in, explain the situation, and we'll have the dad there. If the dad doesn't come, he gets summoned in, and we'll deal with the support on a temporary basis, try to settle the case. If it can't be settled, we have a hearing at some time down the line. It's user-friendly, I would suggest.
Obviously, the issue would be that he can't afford it. He just has lost his job, doesn't have one, whatever.
That's the main issue. When I described the percentages to you earlier, those are the presumptively correct percentages. So we find the income, apply the percentage. That's the amount the support should be. The non-custodial parent, the payer, can always try to argue to us, I can't afford it for this reason, this reason, this reason. And that's always the dynamic. The non-custodial parent is trying to drive the figure off of the presumptively correct amount.
And may not be able to afford it.
And may not be able to. But the bottom line is if you can't point to me a statutory reason why I should have the support different from the percentage, it's going to be that percentage. unfortunately, for the payor.
On this week's edition of You and the Law, child support magistrate John Amon has been here, and we've been talking about child support. I'm Mike Desmond, WBFO News.